Welcome back to another episode of our Eagle Perspective podcast. I'm Mike Siciliano, Dean of Students of the Upper School. I am joined today by SFC Athletic Director Doug Miller. Coach Miller, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
So we had a lot to talk about. I mean, obviously athletics is a big part of Santa Fe, and you are kind of the steward of our athletics program, set the vision. You have some amazing vision for how students grow in their faith through sports, which I would love to hear you talk about. But before we get to that, maybe introduce yourself a little bit. Let's start with how you became affiliated with Santa Fe.
Okay. Wow. 27 years ago, I had a
Only 27?
Maybe 28.
Okay.
I had a first grader here in Mrs. Page's class, my son Brock, who's now 33 years old. And my wife and I decided to come to this school. We had some beautiful neighbors, the Offhammers. Miss Offhammer was the nurse here. John Offhammer I worked with.
I went to school with Drew.
Yeah. And they led us to this campus. And neither Cammie or I, my wife, had gone to a private school. And so we started our kids here early on a long, long time ago. And
which just to add a little bit, weren't you a little bit hesitant at first about paying for school? Do I remember this?
Absolutely. Okay. Every month I wrote the check. And I looked at my wife and I said, why are we doing this? This is the most expensive check I'm writing every month. And it wasn't very long before I realized it was the most important check I was writing every month. And so our involvement started to grow. My wife got involved with band and she was an art docent and she did all the things as our kids, you know, matriculated through the school. And then I started getting involved. Coach Sipe was a football coach here, and he was one of my high school heroes. And I volunteered to do chains and do all sorts of stuff for the football program and the track team. I became an assistant track coach when Chris White was our head coach way back in the day. I was a track athlete in high school and college. And so helping kids do things on the track was a lot of fun. That turned into I became the head track coach when Chris White left, did that. Was super athletes like Jenna Peterbaugh and Sydney Saunders. And
so just so you know, we had Sydney on the podcast.
Oh, did
so,
you?
You know, for anyone who this is their first.
She's
listen.
That famous book writer.
That's true now.
Yeah.
She also shared, you know, you may not know this, but she shared about the role you played her senior year with track and some stuff she was going through, a real significant challenge and some hard decisions you made that she's really grateful for. So both you and, shameless plug, anyone in our audience who hasn't seen that particular episode, her name is Sydney White now, the alumni series, check that episode out.
Wow, I will. Thank you for that. And that stirs up some great feelings because Sydney's special and there's so many special people I've had. So yeah, I was a track coach for a long time. And then when my boys graduated, they were football players here. And when they left, John Wallace took over the reins for football and said, hey, you know a little bit about football. Can we have you help out? And that was 13 or 12 seasons ago.
Yeah, 12 years ago. Yeah. And it turns out he was being generous with a little bit.
A little bit. I don't know.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. So about 5 years ago, and over this time, I started realizing that when I was here on campus, my heart was full. Whether I was talking to one of my athletes, or I was talking to another coach, or I was just walking around, like this place was vibrating in my soul. And I meditated on what that meant for a long time, for a long time.
I actually remember you saying, this was back in my early days as an employee here, when you were like, someday I just want to even be like a full-time volunteer here.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I knew Daryl Enderlin, who was the facilities guy here. And 6 or so years ago, Daryl retired and moved away. And I thought, you know, I'm pretty good at scrubbing toilets and I can fix holes in drywall. Maybe I can do that. And so 5 or so years ago, I went to Matt Hannon and I said, hey, Matt, I need to be on this campus. I don't know if I can afford it, but I just need to be obedient and do that. And we went out for tacos and I sat and cried over my carne asada burrito and told him God's calling me to be here and I don't care what I need to do. And that dovetailed with Chad Bickley's departure as athletic director. Mm-hmm. Kind of like one of the apostles, I don't know what you're asking me to do. I'm totally unqualified, but I'll do whatever. And interviewed for the job. And it was funny, I filled out the application and you've seen the application to apply here. they really want you to articulate what is in your heart. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And again, once again, you know, I feel like Dick Vermeil. I was just crying while I'm filling out this application. I realized, yep, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. Dick, for anyone who doesn't know, Dick Vermeil, former NFL coach who would cry in like half of his press conferences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coach of the Rams. I know a team that is near and dear to your heart.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and maybe a little context as well. What were you doing work-wise before you got to Santa Fe?
When my kids were here, my wife and I were both working in sales at IBM. Mm-hmm. And so we were traveling the country selling hardware and software in the world of technology, and did that for most of my life. And one of the coolest things is being in sales. Every day is different. Every day is with people. Every day is an opportunity to listen. And to talk to strangers and to help them out, which is has a lot of application, interestingly enough, in what I'm doing now. Yeah. And then after the IBM thing, I hit pause and created with two former alumni this application that Santa Fe had been using for the last half dozen years called RepU and the SFC Talon. We created that, which interestingly enough, helped me be better at my job here. You're as an athletic director.
Athletic, high school athletic departments all over the country.
Yeah, listening to what ADs yeah. want, what coaches want, what fans want. And so that empowered me to do things better here in this new job as AD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, we are, of course, very lucky to have you. So thanks for not only being here on the podcast, but it's, I mean, personally, it's been fun just getting to know you as a dad and then, and then watching you kind of come into the fold, which actually maybe one more question before we get to why, why we have sports at Santa Fe is going to be the question I'm going to ask you in a minute. Okay. But what was it like going from parent to coach to employee? Like, just because I know there's a lot of, you know, parents that experience it one way and think certain things go on or think, you know, parts of it should be this way or that way. And so you've lived that of sort of then getting to kind of dive all in.
Yeah, I was that person sitting in the front row heckling and throwing tomatoes at coaches. I was that dad that knew what was right for my kids. And you just don't know. And then all of a sudden, I was sitting on the stage as a participant in the play, and now I'm behind the curtain putting it together. And it is full circle. It has given me empathy for our parent community and what their desires are for their kids. And it has given me empathy for what the coaches and the administration went through when I was that dad. And so I'm grateful for it. And I don't fault anybody in any of their positions and their circumstances. Somebody told me this in my first couple of months here as being an athletic director. You're not in the sports business. You're in the people business. Mm. And people can be emotional and people can get excited. But the one thing here at Santa Fe is I think we're all on the same page in that Christ is at the center, and that allows our communication to be elevated.
Yeah. Right? Amen. Okay. So you're in charge of sports.
Yeah.
Something like 80-ish, 85% of our students in the upper school will play a sport. The whole middle school sports program as well.
Yeah.
So it's a big part of the experience here. Why do we have sports at Santa Fe? What's the point?
That's a good question. Why do we have sports? Mm-hmm. I mean,
thank you. As I say, I have one job here on the podcast.
Yeah, and that's a good question. First of all, I think our percentage of participation is actually a little higher.
Okay.
I think it's closer to 90, and it's the highest in San Diego. Okay.
You give me a hard time later for saying that wrong, probably.
Yeah, probably great. Will.
Great. It's the highest in San Diego.
Yeah, it is. Wow. Which is really interesting. So why do we have sports? Well, sports is a great outlet for kids. It is something, if you look at it as a co-curricular or a class, it's one of the few classes that they get to choose to pick because it's fun, because they have goals and aspirations for that. I'm not discounting anything else that we do here at Santa Fe. It all is purposeful and is all is good. But there aren't a lot of 10th graders that say, oh, I want these three AP classes because I'm excited to take them. It's because I need to take them to get to where I want to go academically. Sports is different, and it it's fulfilling in ways that I think are different from the classroom. It fuels a passion that young people have. It's very communal. Kids bond together, they unite, they become part of something bigger than themselves, and then they go and compete. And whether you are a golfer or a tennis player, a cross country runner, water polo, football player, you're testing what's in your heart and what your desires are against somebody else that doesn't go to the same school, that has similar passions, and you get to see where you are. And I think that there is a healthy curiosity, a fun factor, a competitiveness that just says, I want to beat that person, right? I want to beat that gal, right? I'm better than that. Together, we can do something great. And I don't know where else in our community here at school or in high schools in general can you, you know, serve that need, those desires.
The vision of the school is to prepare Christian leaders. How does sports here at Santa Fe help that?
You know, one of the things that we do here at Santa Fe, which is different from other schools as it relates to coaching and sports, is, and if you ever took a tour here at our campus, you would hear me say this. Our coaches and our support staff in our athletics department, I like to say we coach to the heart of the athlete versus to the talent. And what that means is God made each of us uniquely with passions and desires to compete, to just, we're all unique. And our coaches will not look at an athlete and say, well, they're only as good as their ability on the baseball diamond or on the football field. That person was made by God, the same God that created me as a coach. God loves them as much as he loves me, and I want greatness for them beyond what they are as an athlete. Knowing that the relationship that the athlete has with the coach might be one of the best adult relationships they have on campus, mm-hmm. allows the athlete's ears to be open in a way that they may not be as willing to receive adult input in any other venue here. I want to seize that opportunity, knowing that the athlete believes that this coach loves me, this coach wants greatness for me, this coach wants me to excel. So I'm going to seize the opportunity to listen to what that coach says. That's the athlete's perspective. The coach's perspective is, this young person is listening to me. I'm going to teach them to be great. I'm going to help them to set goals and reach those goals. But I'm going to also hold them accountable to things that go beyond just softball or baseball or water polo. How are they doing in the classroom? How are they doing relationally with mom and dad? How are they doing in church, right? God made them as a complete being, not just as an athlete. And our coaches, coaching to the heart, focus on the complete being. The wonderful thing about that approach to coaching to the heart versus coaching to the talent, the byproduct is we get all the championships that we could ask for, right? But the other thing that we get is we get the follow-up calls when they're a junior in college,
yeah,
or the invitations to weddings, or the late night calls that say, hey coach, remember that thing you told me when we were on that hike in the Sierras? I'm really struggling and I need your prayers and I need your counsel. And we're very intentional with that. And honestly, as a coach and as an athletic director, that is the most rewarding yeah. thing, way more than any banners that are hanging in the gym or any championship rings.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree.
That's transformational.
Yeah. I just actually over our most recent break, you know, had a couple different athletes reach out and be like, I'm in town. Let's grab breakfast. Let's grab coffee. Like that is obviously
yeah.
just so meaningful as a coach.
Yeah.
And I feel like that happens here more than at other places for whatever reason, because of what you're talking about coaching to the heart and
yeah.
Athletes feeling like, you know, the coaches care about them, not just the wins or their talent.
Yeah. I sent a text. I heard a sermon the other day and it was really insightful from Mosaic Church up in LA. And I sent it to a lot of people that have been in my life for the last 15 years. 20 of them were athletes, former athletes. And then I get an email back from Matthew McCroskey.
No way. Matto.
Coach, thanks so much. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that you took the time to reach out to me. Yeah. Hey, I'm back in town next week. Let's get together.
Yeah.
And that's a regular occurrence and I cherish it.
Yeah. How do you hope an athlete has grown you know, from let's take it start at sixth grade, right?
Yeah.
So someone joins a sixth grade, pick your sport, and their senior year, they're graduating. In what ways do you hope that athlete has grown?
Obviously, that they've seen firsthand from their coaches what God is doing in their coach's life, and they have an authentic desire or even a curiosity to pursue that. That's the most important, that we've modeled for them who God is to us as adults, and they want to know more. Because when they leave here, it's unscripted and it's out of our control.
Yeah.
So did we do our job there? That's the most important thing. Two, you know, and in today's age, a lot of our kids and families are trying to navigate the path of life and avoid adversity. Mm. I would love it if a kid or an athlete that graduates from here is not afraid of an adverse moment and can lean into it, trusting that God's got it, that I'm capable of it, and I've got a support community behind me, and I won't avoid it. I think those are two really big things because, you know, after high school, life is a roller coaster,
yeah.
Right? And if we have truly prepared our kids to rely on God and then not be afraid of potholes in the road or hard left turns, I think they're prepared.
Sports is a place where there is healthy adversity.
Healthy.
Right? Where, yeah. you know, it's not always just a straight line up. It's you go through moments of, oh my gosh, this storybook is looking very different than I thought it would.
Yeah.
You know, because let's be honest, a lot of our freshman boys think they're going to go play college football or college basketball or college lacrosse or college whatever it is. And many of them do. And others of them have a different journey.
Yeah. I think what's happened in sport nationwide, not just here in North County, San Diego, at a private school, is the understanding of what high school sport is. We have forgotten that it is a platform for fun, for promoting communication, for being part of something that's bigger than yourself, and a platform to navigate adversity. Mm. And we all seem to think it's a means to an end to a Division I scholarship. To your point, many do have that as the outcome, but we're bypassing what its purpose originally was to be a healthy outlet and a mental stimulation.
So to that end, and at the risk of getting into some, you know, kind of current sport culture discussions, you know, we're seeing it in college now with the transfer portal and the NIL and, you know, we're seeing it at other high schools, which, by the way, let's put something on the record here, because I think everyone assumes that all private schools in the county are out recruiting athletes.
I wish. Okay, man, so, we could win so many banners.
So do we recruit athletes at Santa Fe?
The answer is absolutely no.
No.
We do not recruit. Right. I take that back. We recruit from the eighth grade in our middle school, and we try to get them to stay.
We have
here
to convince our own kids to stay instead of accepting the money at other schools that are trying to recruit them.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what is cool about that as far as playing sports here? Like, how does that make playing sports here better? Because I think some people think, well, I want to go where all the serious athletes are that are getting recruited and whatnot. What is it about playing with whoever shows up that's different at Santa Fe?
There's a unity, there is a bond, there is a family that it's kind of like, do I play at Santa Fe, which is my high school, or do I play on my club team? And club's a real thing for a lot of sports, soccer and volleyball and travel baseball.
Lacrosse.
There is no commitment to team. It's all about individual performance at the club space, and that's where you develop your individual talent. But if you started in sixth grade and you took PE with Coach Wallace and he taught you how to juggle and he taught you how to play Philly football and do all these other cool things through sixth and seventh and eighth grade, you're bonding to your classmates. And now you're entering high school together and now you're suited up in your football pads or your lacrosse gear for the first time as a high school kid. And now it's a brotherhood, you know, it's truly a band of brothers or sisters that have grown together for 4 years and now they're going into battle and they're taking things on. And again, God's at the center of it when we're in sixth grade and God's at the center of it now we're in ninth grade in high school. It's special. We don't recruit, and I'm glad we don't. I wish we had a bigger campus with a larger population. But it is special when you see our lacrosse team take on the best in the country and our football team, which you were part of, beating Torrey Pines 31-0 with 30,
that was a fun one.
30 guys on the sideline versus 106 on the opposing sideline. I mean, that is David versus Goliath. That is supernatural. And those boys that have, they played together from middle school, moved all the way up through high school, are as tight as any group in the county. Yeah.
So to that end, because I want to be clear that, you know, we're talking a lot about what the most important long-term goals are.
Yeah.
But that's not to say we're not competitive or don't desire excellence on the field or court or whatever the playing surface is. So
absolutely. My and I'm not going to cut you off, but
no,
I'm so passionate about this. My life verse is Romans 12:1 and 12:2. Paul talking to the Roman church. And he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. And through this offer, you'll be able to test and approve of God's perfect and pleasing will. That's written in our locker rooms now. When kids come in theory, they'll read it. But what does that mean? God blessed me with my body. I'm going to give him my very best in everything I do. And then I'm going to stand back and I'm going to watch what he can do. We are called to worship him. So what does that look like as a 14-year-old, an 18-year-old, or a 60-year-old? Very differently. So as a high school kid, if you believe that God blessed you with physical talents to hit threes from anywhere on the court or to what, how do you worship God with those talents? You give him your very best. You're a great teammate, right? You're a great player for the coach. You're great in the community. You love others, regardless of if they love you or not. So we want excellence. We encourage it. I don't say we demand it, but we strive for it because that's a way to worship God and not just be a casual participant while balancing it with fun, though, too.
Yeah.
It has to be fun.
Yeah. And I would say we have a number of programs who've figured out how to do that really well, which is amazing. Like I think about it. Well, maybe I should ask you about some programs historically, last 5 or 10 years, who've been great examples of we're going to play with whoever shows up.
Yeah.
We're going to expect and demand a team first culture and that have gone on to have some great success.
Man, we've got a lot of pillar sports here that's their philosophy. Chad Bickley is famous for saying, we'll never find out who we are until we play the best, and he's never backed down.
That's, for anyone who doesn't know, that was our men's basketball coach for a long time. And I look at that program, I think they've been, and now under Matt Carlino as well, they've been open division or division one for what, 8-9 years in a row, right? At our little school of 450 kids.
We have 202 boys in this school. Yeah. We don't recruit. No one's ever taller than 6'2" or 6'3".
And they've been top 6 or 7
in this county. Absolutely. Yeah,
which is pretty incredible.
Men's basketball. Lacrosse, you know, that's a relatively new sport. It probably started 16, 18 years
but
ago.
Again, they've been open division, division one.
They play at any level nationwide. No, no. And Dan Carson and now Tomas Rodriguez, they are challenging those boys to play at the highest level and do it in a way that is honoring. And so they've had a lot of success. Track and field. Again, we don't even have a track here, and we have 60 or 70 athletes, and we are the 800-pound gorilla in the conference. Men's golf, right? Mm-hmm. Again, we don't recruit, but Tyler Gray, as our men's coach, has had a lot of success with that.
Yeah, we've had some players, and we have Luke Bailey right now, who's got a full ride to Pepperdine.
Which was last year's national championship.
Yeah. I think about women's volleyball over the years, too. We've had a Gatorade National Player of the Year here Lexi Sun. They've won the Open Division. So pretty remarkable. Who's the AD down there? Doing a pretty good job.
Who's the AD down in our athletics department?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. But what a blessing it is. Yeah. It's honestly, I've worked longer hours since I started here, day in and day out, more days a week than I ever did in my professional life. But I don't think I've actually gone to work one day since I took this job. I've never been more fulfilled and rewarded with tears of joy and tears of heartbreak. It is the best thing I've ever done. And I'm super grateful to be in people's lives.
Yeah. Okay, couple other questions for you. So someone might ask, you know, hey, what makes a sports program a Christian sports program? What are the ways in which you would expect your coaches to infuse faith into the program?
Yeah, sports is kind of upside down at all levels right now. Whether you're playing Pop Warner or you know, little kids soccer, you get into high school and you get into college, you get into pro. It's very selfish. It's very me, me, me. And so we have an opportunity to either look away or look down upon or badmouth, or we can transform it. Right. And so our coaches are trying to teach our kids how to, regardless of what the sport looks like anywhere else, behave in a way that God wants us to behave to each other and to our opponents. If you look at baseball, for example, go to a baseball game, a high school baseball game, and just listen. When somebody's up to bat, you will hear a dugout chirping. You won't hear our dugout chirping. Mm. And I've had families from our school and from visiting schools go, you guys are different. That was really cool. And we do that whether we're winning or losing. I've been part of the football program, as you know, and we've lost some heartbreaking games. And that game against Lincoln, mm-hmm. where we lost with 1 second left, and it was a unhealthy situation as how our opponent was treating us. And yet Tim Parlier, one of our assistant coaches, brought in all this Gatorade and we gave it to them after they beat us. And then we asked to pray with them at midfield. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're trying to teach to our kids. The hardest thing in the Bible for me to embrace, and I'm trying to teach this to those around me, is how to love my enemies and how to forgive. If we do that, man, our odds of navigating life after high school and all the difficulties, it gets that much easier. Yeah. And I think sports gives us the platform to do that as much as anything else here at school.
Yeah. And I know we have a lot of coaches too that will do Bible studies as part of their weekly routine, you know, whether it's the football pasta dinner or basketball in the off season. I know has done, you know, they have a whole philosophy that they take their core values and do a Bible study on every week. And we have a number of programs doing that type of thing.
Yeah. Right? You know, some coaches are very good at witnessing to our kids, at hosting a Devo, taking them on a missions trip. Like, that's second nature to them. And others aren't as comfortable. But what we encourage them all to do is to model in a way that the kids want to know more what it is to follow Jesus in action and in word. But we are very intentional across the board.
Before we go, do you have any stories? I mean, you know, you've now coached, there's been hundreds of kids that have come through sports while you've been the AD, probably thousands in the years between when you've been on boosters, a dad, coaching, and now the AD. Are there any, you know, two or three stories that really stand out to you of transformation, like kids that you saw just become, just really grow up?
I'll talk to a couple, or one in particular that first comes to mind. Kayla McGinnis was an athlete for me. I was a track coach, mm-hmm. and she was a very social athlete, and she ran with all sorts of kids here on campus. And in her junior year, or maybe it was her senior year, she wanted to know more about God. She was raised in a home that believed, but maybe wasn't as like all in. And she started asking very probing questions. And so we started talking regularly in her senior year about what God is to me and what he could do for her as she was navigating her senior year and getting ready to go to Carthage and play soccer. I cherish those conversations. She then went to Carthage and the conversations continued. Conversations like, oh, I've got this conditioning exercise and I'm going to get cut from the team and I'm going to lose my opportunity to compete if I'm not. And we prayed through it and we talked about it and it just continued and continued. I want to say it was her junior year in college. She reached out to me and she said, "Coach, I've met a boy and I love my faith. And I love the fact that Sunday mornings, I got to get up at 6 a.m. and I drive for an hour to go to the church that I go to here in Wisconsin. And I really want him to experience it, but I don't know where he's at relationally." And I said, "Well, let's see what God calls you to do." And I said, "Why don't you challenge him? Why don't you say, if you really want to get to know me, you got to get up in the morning after staying out at a college party late on a Saturday night, go to church." And so she challenged him, and he did. And they went to church that weekend, and they went to church the next weekend. They came home. They continued to date. She started coming to church with me. She started bringing him to church with us. Fast forward to a year ago, they asked me to do premarital counseling for them. And now Kayla and Jordan are husband and wife. Kayla is now an assistant coach here at Santa Fe, coaching track and witnessing to kids. She's involved at Venture Church. And her husband, Jordan, who's very involved at Venture Church, is also coaching lacrosse. Awesome. It is truly awesome. It is so fulfilling. And I mentioned this other gal, Sydney Saunders, who's now Sydney White, distance runner. I was a distance runner in high school. And she went through a very tough senior year, and I had the opportunity to come alongside her and pray with her and counsel her and encourage her and challenge her. And we continued some of the conversations when she went off to UVA, and she came back, and our relationship has started blossoming again because she came back, and now she's coaching cross country as a mom. And so there's a lot of stories like that. Yeah. Where authentically I seize the opportunity to love a young person and encourage them, but also hold them accountable. And they don't let go of that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. This made me think my own question. I'm going to answer my own question. Just listen to you talk the story. Do you remember, obviously, Dimitri Washington and yeah. Seth Rossier?
Yes.
So the story of these two guys, same class, right? Same year.
Right.
Came in as freshmen together. One was highly heralded, you know, Dimitri, all the other high schools around wanted him. He chose to stay, had an amazing career for us. But from the get-go as a freshman was, you know, all that. Seth Rossier, incredible young man. I don't think he would be ashamed for me to say on the podcast, like, could not finish a workout.
Yeah.
Right. Like we would do conditioning.
Yeah.
And he couldn't finish as
it
a freshman.
It wasn't his comfortable area.
No.
Yeah.
You know, kind of just like many of our kids who just sign up to go play.
Yeah. Right?
And watching them together over that 4 years, and watching Seth out there leading conditioning as a senior.
Yeah.
And being a part of our team, even though he wasn't going to play college football at all. Right. And he knew that.
Right.
He's really smart. And it got in really good shape, but that was it. You know, high school was the end of the road for him. And Dimitri, who got offers from everywhere, ended up going to Boise State. He yeah. chose it over some pretty incredible other schools because
yeah.
it was the best fit for him. And is now coaching at Boise State, by the way. But those two guys together on that 4 year journey, you know, one at the very top of the sport, one kind of an everyman who got the benefits of really growing up and going from a boy to a man in the program side by side. I always think of that of like, that's Santa Fe sports.
It truly you know? Is. And I saw Seth Rossier, I don't know, 6 months ago. He's got long hair.
He's like leading worship bands and he's
it's
incredible.
Unbelievable. And you're yeah. right. Everybody grows and develops and it was made unique, but they were brothers on the same team.
Yeah.
And they had two totally different talents, but they appreciated being on that team together. And I think if we can simplify and let sport be beautiful for what it is, that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Where we've got the guy who's all American and we got the kid who's all in attendance.
Yeah.
Right. And they're on the same team having a great time. And they're loved equally by the coach too. Going back to my comment, the coach is coaching to the heart, right? The talent is fun, but the coach cares about everybody.
Yeah. 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 And that team went
to play. That is Santa Fe.
That team went to play in the CIF championship game, and we won't talk about the very close finish of that game, but
yeah,
incredible group of young men. Okay. I have the last question.
Okay.
Before we go, true or false, before you were married to your amazing wife, Cammy,
mm-hmm.
you were on the dating game.
That's a true story. That's a true story.
True or false, there's video of it out there.
So I'm not ashamed. I mean, we're all on a journey.
Yeah,
and in 1987, I had a friend who was a contestant coordinator for Hollywood game shows.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll give you $50 if you go down and try out. And so I went down to the studios.
You got paid to be on the dating
game. I got paid.
Wow.
What he said was, if you get picked, he gets a commission and he'd split
okay,
it with me.
Okay.
So absolutely went down to Sunset Boulevard, tried out for it, and got home and had a message on my answering machine that said, come back, we want you to. So if you went to YouTube and you Googled Doug Miller dating game,
there
you'd see me in Miami okay. Vice attire.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed.
Doug Miller, thank you for serving at our school, and we're super grateful for the journey that you've had to get here and for what that means for our student athletes. And thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
All right, and thanks for listening or watching. If this is your first time checking out one of our Eagle Perspective podcasts, we've got lots of other episodes with alumni, employees, other guests from around the country. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or elsewhere podcasts are available. We also have video podcasts on YouTube. We look forward to seeing you again soon.